Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
What broke him down? Was it just a body punch? I was hitting him with body punch, and I heard him actually was crying in there. You're saying that Big was crying when you hit him?
Yes.
When did that happen?
And perhaps the fourth round on.
BoxingVoice.com.
So you knew you had him by that
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely,
but I knew you were fucking and taking those punches.
Beyonce Productions.
Making women's gestures like,
Let's go, champ. This is the champ. Keep sharing the champ. With the same champ. If it was Ali, why did they go? BoxingWiz.com. Team like he's a C-plus fighter. I'm a dominant, I'm a dogfish fighter.
I'm talking about punch. We're going to punch you for 12 rounds. Either the referee says you had enough or you can say you had enough.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, this is another edition. Yes, it's the same day, but with all these announcements, what could we do? Gennady Golovkin, Daniel Jacobs have officially started their Middleweight Madness press tour. They're going to be going from New York City to Los Angeles. And, this is a pay-per-view fight. This is a fight that took a lot of time to negotiate. There was a lot of headlines as to whether or not this fight would be made, whether or not we would get it, whether, Jacobs was scared. So we're going to continue to follow this one just as close as we were following the negotiations in order to help them out, man. I mean, we want Gennady and Jacobs to do better pay-per-view numbers than these previous pay-per-views for everyone. Without any further ado, let me head on over to the Sunshine State.
We're going to head on over to the Sunshine State.
Boxing MD. What's going on?
Is that a fair statement to make? You have to be honest with yourself.
Glad to be back again with the Boxing Voice family. I know this is called a coast-to-coast press tour, but it seems like they forgot about every single city besides New York and Los Angeles. So I will be critical of Gennady Golovkin's team because they're promoting the fight in K2. So for all you guys that call me a biased GGG rider, I'm using objectivity, which I do all the time, and I will be critiquing their decision to only have a 2-city press tour with about 10 weeks to go before the fight.
And back with us for another time, Matt, producer, editor now. He's like taking on roles over here. Still learning on the producer side. Let's see how good he does with your guys' names today. But Matt, what's going on?
Nothing much. Just excited to talk about Triple G and Jacobs. I think it's a great fight. I'm a little bit not as hating on this tour as MD. You know, New York, LA, those are the two biggest media capitals in the world. Not even in the U.S. So I think that those are the obvious places. And with probably the lack of funding in this fight, especially with both these guys probably getting paid very well, they can't go all over the place like a Floyd Mayweather and Canelo Alvarez did.
Well, I mean, they could definitely compensate for some of the money that they would need to promote this with these ticket prices. I mean, the $1,000 is double what the prices were for Lemieux. But let's get to the facts. Following the outstanding response from fans and media due to obviously this fight being announced, the pre-sale on ticket sales, K2, Gennady Golovkin, Daniel Jacobs, and his team have decided to go on a 2-city coast-to-coast press tour. They will be in Madison Square Garden Arena, New York, New York. You can enter through the main entrance on the 32nd side and 7th Avenue, and it's open to the public at 12 p.m. So there, that is going to be Tuesday, January 10th. You know, you could go there. Hopefully, you know, you get a little autograph from Golovkin. You could be part of the, you know, maybe HBO 24/7. You know, they're going to be taping. You know, you want to be part of those cheers to just prove to all the Golovkin detractors that he is a star and that that first pay-per-view, it was all Lemieux's fault. Gennady, 97,000. Yeah, right. There was something wrong. We're going to prove it to you guys this time around, March 8th.
Producer, fact check that 97,000, please.
Well, we can't. Not 97,000. It's 150,000.
No, give you guys. Listen, now you want to argue, Matt. You can't find.
No, I'm not. That's a fact check. MD. I'm not arguing. I'm just saying, right, like, the facts are the facts.
You do want to argue because you can't find one quote to say that it's 150.
You can't find one quote that says it's 97.
Exactly. Everyone is speculating.
I can find ESPN articles that say it's 150. ESPN is the world leader in sports coverage, right?
Yeah, right.
We use ESPN quotes to talk about the $15 million offer to
quotes. We do, but okay. Is the article going to say sources close to the camp?
Yeah, but we can't do. Come on, that's okay. Journalism 101. You can't release anonymous sources. There's laws protecting journalists for that.
And because we do not have to release them, people abuse that. And sources.
I think ESPN's editors are better about not letting that happen. Just letting you guys know.
Maybe. But let's not act like, you know, bigger publications than ESPN haven't been wrong before.
Okay. Moving on.
So the first stop is going to be Tuesday, January 10th, 2017. They're going to be at Madison Square Garden. And like I said, you can enter through the 32nd and 7th Avenue entrance, and the doors will open at 12 p.m. New York, New York. Now, for all the Mexican Golovkin fans, right, there's even shirts around there that say Mexicans for Golovkin and stuff like that. That's going to be Wednesday, January 11th at the Changa Room at L.A. Live, and that is 800 West Olympic.
Is it the Conga Room?
Oh, yeah, Changa Room. Okay. So that's going to be Los Angeles.
That's just thinking about the Changas out in L.A.
No, it's Conga, like the Congo, but like Conga.
Okay, the Conga Room. And that's going to be the same time, but Pacific time, 12 p.m. And that's the time the press conference starts. And, you know, the tickets are still on sale, though, MD. That has me a little worried. Did you expect it to be sold out by this time? I mean, it's only the 5th day of January. When did they actually go on sale? The 23rd of December?
Well, I don't know when they officially went on sale, but I know
there was a pre-sale that only allowed a certain amount of tickets sold, and then they're going to open them up, I want to say, like this week or something like that.
Oh, so it's not even officially on sale. And I just want to like establish one thing that was said before that I think this again is a speculation, but you know how they said that the first time they broke records with the pre-sale, and then this time they're doing better, right? They broke records in terms of pre-sale tickets. I think they're doing better in terms of net gross because the tickets are twice as much. So that's, I think, a clarification of the first, you know, the Tom Loeffler statements before. Now, you mentioned the pay-per-views being disappointing before. This is another reason why. And I have to give credit where credit's due because he's kind of the one who said this before. I was thinking of this, but he established it more. So shout out to Lukey Boxing because he said that they focus really promoting heavily in just two areas, and that is LA and New York. And it hurt them, I think, with the pay-per-view sales. So I don't think they're going to have I don't think they're doing this tour to sell, to help ticket sales. I think they're doing this tour to help garner attention for the pay-per-view figures, which need to do much better than the first pay-per-view.
Now, where you're saying that they're lacking, and Lukey said they're lacking in promotion. So, what city is it that they're missing out?
I don't want to misquote Lukey's words. I don't think he said they're lacking. He said that they're focusing only on those things. I guess that's insinuating.
Okay, but where else do you focus if you're K2?
Well, if you're K2, right, and you still have 10 weeks to go, I don't know if the camps had issues with this, but do maybe a few more cities. I mean, how hard is it to do Houston, Chicago, and a few? I mean, I'm just naming some cities, but there has to be some other cities that there would be at least, you know, some people to come out to see that. do some local media and do on and then go on to training camp, because
that would add millions of dollars in promotion, though. You know that, right, MD? Like,
I don't know about millions of dollars. I think
paying for the hotels, flights, food, that's all comped by the promoter.
That's correct. And it's a risk. Yeah, I think.
Don't know if it'll be a million.
But no,
Golovkin and his whole entourage, for Jacobs and his whole entourage, and then you have to lease out of locations. I'm saying, like, that's a lot of money. I'm just not saying they're paying Jacobs a lot, I presume, because they didn't have to go to purse bids. They didn't go to 25%. So they're paying Jacobs a good amount. They're paying Triple G a good amount. So I think the well has dried up a bit.
It's a risk, and I hear what you're saying, but I just think that they've had, and this is where I 100% agree with Lukey, that for Golovkin to be bigger, I think that they need to branch out a little bit. I think they need to definitely go to Texas. Absolutely, yeah, go to Texas.
Would have been, you would figure that would have been part of the tour simply because they've gone there already twice to just do photo ops at the Cowboys Stadium with Jerry Jones. So it's like, why not go back? Jerry Jones gives you a box suite. You invite the media. You give a couple of hot dogs. Everyone takes pictures and a bunch of people writing about this, and you're getting more publicity.
Yeah, and here's my thing in general. Like, coast to coast is just coastal again. And I think a lot of the times, a lot of the people throughout the entire country, they buy pay-per-view fights. And I think that somehow being accessible to some of these fans who don't live on the coast, who don't live in the two biggest media markets in the country, would be more inclined to be open to buying a pay-per-view fight if they had something like this in their city. Like, I'm all for these press tours, and I know the cost and risk, but a lot of people, we all know who Golovkin is, but apparently a lot of people don't know who he is because of his low pay-per-view buys. And also, this would also benefit Daniel Jacobs, because his story, like Ness says, should somehow get out there for the masses to do. And it all starts from the ground up. So, you know, maybe a local something, you know, so I don't know.
Just to give you credit, or to, you know, add validity to what you're saying, the only other time that I can remember where there was a over-exaggerated press tour, it worked. They chose 11 cities. They end up doing only 10, but they racked in 2.4 million pay-per-views, mm-hmm, and the highest gate ever that still hasn't – those numbers haven't been broken. So, yes, people are going to say, yeah, but it's Canelo and Mayweather. Yes, but it was also good promoting. Richard Schaefer was in charge then.
And that was a risk they had to take, like Matt said, because we know for sure that Floyd Mayweather has a bigger entourage than either one of these guys. So, I mean, they were comped, were they not? I mean, so it's a risk, you take it. And sometimes you have to make a risk, because the gap between doing $800,000, and I think it's possible again for someone to be able to do $800,000, 800 buys against a less named opponent, it's hard to bridge that gap unless you start being creative. And being creative is doing a more city press tour.
MD, quickly, I don't disagree with your premise that more promotion obviously gets you more pay-per-view buys. I definitely agree with that. But however, comparing the big press tour that, like, Canelo and Mayweather did, and that generated 2.2 million pay-per-view buys, that's an astronomical number that obviously paid off the promotional work, right?
Wasn't it 2.4?
I don't think it does that amount or close to it at all. This isn't Triple G and Canelo.
I'm talking about adding a city or two, literally a city or two. I'm not talking about...
And I don't think it costs as much as Matt is saying. I mean, we've rented locations. It can't cost that much. Even if it's a big spot, let's say 10,000 to rent it. Let's say another 5,000 for food, you know.
And they sell merchandise or whatever. Like, they're, you know, I don't know how that works. Like, I'm not, you know, again, I don't know. I think sometimes promoters are cocky. I think they got cocky the first time around with how Tom Loughran, he didn't want to put up the money, and nobody was expecting, I'll just be fair to the people who think I'm being biased, and I'll say 125,000 buys. Let's just say that for this argument. I don't think Tom Loughran expected that. I didn't expect that. Nesta didn't expect that. I don't think a lot of people expected
that. No one expected that. I honestly thought he was a star. I swear to God. I thought we were going to be like, oh.
He's a star. No, he's a star. He's just not a superstar. Yeah. At least in the terms of pay-per-view sales. He's a star. Just like Terrence Crawford's a star. He's obviously bigger than Terrence Crawford. But superstars are rare. And I think that they got cocky by not really promoting it as hard. And
MD, quickly, do you think that a press tour in another city would add more pay-per-view revenue than, let's say, commercial advertising space on television channels or, you know, national football games or whatever, that that the money towards that sort of promotional work would actually add more dividends to adding pay-per-view buys than adding one more city to a press tour? You know what I'm saying? Because I don't see any commercials for Triple G and Jacobs.
No, but that doesn't – of course not, because you only see commercials a few weeks out. That's because it's – that's a – talk about money. What are you going to do, commercials now? Do commercials for 2 months? Like, that's very expensive, right? So I'm sure they're going to do the commercials and they're going to do ads. That's a given. But I think that from
– and they be doing more commercials just on HBO. Like, that's – I'm already
paying. That doesn't count, though. That doesn't count.
But it does. But
the people that have HBO are going to watch this fight most likely.
No,
everyone isn't you and I. You know what I did today? I actually added PBC's calendar to my calendar on my smartphone. Like, everyone's not us. They don't stay hip. So, yes, they do need consistent commercials going past, you know, Westwood or, you know.
Maybe it's not commercials. Maybe it's billboards. Maybe it's Facebook ads. You know, there's some sort of promotional work.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's not.
That is better than a
press. It's not going to be billboards. It's going to be things like Facebook ads, like you said, or YouTube ads or whatever.
Twitter ads, you know, stuff like that. Stuff that's
straight, Matt. Are you saying that you feel that this is thus far a poor promotion?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's a archaic promotion.
When was the fight officially announced? We need to count the amount of days. I think maybe you're being a little overly critical.
I know the pre-sale tickets went on Christmas Day.
Let me ask you, you say it's an archaic promotion.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a non-archaic promotion? Because I don't see PBC, who's supposed to be changing the game in boxing.
I don't think anybody in boxing in terms of promotion is doing anything that's cutting edge. They're all doing the same cut and dry bullshit promotion work. That's why it's not selling anymore. That's why you see people like the UFC, who's really in it with social media, that knows how to advertise through social media, sell to guys that are 18 to 35 demographic, that millennial demographic. Boxing hasn't sold to that yet. If you break down demographics in all boxing, all MMA, I'm not trying to make it into MMA, but I'm just saying that boxing has lost the younger viewer. And they need to find a way to get that younger viewer in. And doing press tours, I don't think, is the way to do it. That's just my opinion, and I just see that. And I don't see it in terms of other boxing promoters are doing it right. I think they're all doing it bad.
I don't think boxing, but that's, again, I think it's a little – I think it's – I hear what you're saying, but I think that boxing – really, I don't know if it lost the younger viewer as much as you're emphasizing. I think it lost more of some of the older viewers, the guys like, how many people go, I used to buy all the fights, but I haven't really been paying attention to the fight anymore since Mike Tyson or since since this guy or that guy. So I think that's...
But you get that with every sport. You get that with every sport. And you resupply those losses with the viewers.
And those are the type of people that bridge the gaps between the hardcore pay-per-views and the casual pay-per-views. Oh, I haven't been watching boxing for a long time, but damn, this fight sounds good. So I'm going to meet up with my friends and we're going to watch this and get a poker game together. I mean, this is a casual, like, you got to think casual. And I think that is a big thing. And coming to a big city, be like, oh, I never heard of this Kazakh guy, or, oh, I've never heard of this guy from Brooklyn. So it starts from the,
A city is one location. A city doesn't the Houston, media, core that they have there doesn't have the ability to transcendent everything that they're saying in that media tour, that press event there, to everyone in the U.S. or everyone in the world that's going to buy this pay-per-view fight. You know, stuff that's crossing all lines, not just location. That's why social media is a huge thing. That's why you see a lack of it, okay? But if there was a higher percentage of promotional work in social media, I'm using that as an example, but that relates or that goes to a wider audience, then that would transcribe to more pay-per-view buys.
I don't know. See, I don't follow MMA, so I wouldn't know what they're doing with social media, but I gotta step in and say that I disagree. I think the boxing has been doing a good job. You know, I think I've been around before they started having social media, and me, like, I was mad Bob Byram didn't have one. I'm like, why doesn't Bob have a Twitter? Like, what's going on, you know? That being said, Bob Arum and Top Rank, they gave us their app a long time ago, and they streamed their undercards HD quality for a long time now. That's social media. Remember, Sean Porter, he did a live exhibition on Facebook Live. James DeGale was on Facebook Live today. Mayweather had sparring in the build-up for the Pacquiao fight on Facebook and on YouTube Live. I think he used Ustream, actually. I'm not 100% sure on that, but you remember it. So, yeah, I think everyone's pretty much doing the same thing.
And Adrian Broner used YouPorn to promote himself as well.
Yeah, you know, dropped the sex tape. You're right. Was it? I thought it was RedTube.
Just accept the fact that I used you and you, you know. It's a better analogy, right?
I guess. Let's get to some callers. Let's see.
One more thing. You say that it's art, you know, boxing's archaic and whatever in social media, right?
Going after his nemesis.
No. I just want. What is it going to take to get people motivated and want to fucking go and do what the UK is going to get, the 80,000? I mean, Matt is like one of these new age type of people, right? He's like, and I know this.
No.
Like, they don't get it. People, Matt's going to get annoyed at this analogy, but like, what the fuck did Donald Trump do across America?
He was on social media.
Sold out arenas, big arenas, huge things. And if you don't think that going to a certain place, right, and being there, and that presence doesn't have an impact on the people.
You're talking about one location. You're talking about one location. And we're talking about that one location's press event adding pay-per-view buys, and whether that is equal to a aggressive social media campaign to promote this fight. That's what I'm arguing here.
Yeah, but who's to argue what's aggressive and what's not? Exactly. Like, what haven't they done?
Exactly. And Houston is one of the biggest cities in the country.
And it's a huge population. So exactly. It would be smart of them to go to Houston or Chicago if you're already going to New York and Mexico. Exactly. Those are the next two to cover.
I'm not saying that those events will not add pay-per-view buys. I'm saying we'll add more than a more cutting-edge version of promotion. That's all I'm saying.
What is cutting-edge for you? Just being embedded in – just getting embedded in all the YouTube channels and do – like if people just
– yeah.
But here's
– honestly.
But here's my thing. If you just
– that's a big deal.
If you just have this – okay.
Yeah, but they have YouTube ads
And you related to politics. No, hold on. MD related to politics. We saw Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump all over social media, all over the ad page, everywhere, right? And that related to an increase in votership. Now, in boxing, if you want to sell more pay-per-views, how do you do that in today's age? But Matt,
why are you ignoring the fact that they are using social media? What aren't they doing enough of it with social media?
I'll put this way. I've never seen a promoted ad. I'm talking about promoted ads. The stuff that you see that is purely ad space, not the stuff that you follow.
No. That's bullshit. Dude, I'm on YouTube 24/7.
Ever seen a Triple G ad on YouTube?
Okay, well, now you're being specific to one fighter. In the beginning of the conversation,
have we seen any boxing thing on YouTube?
You compared it to UFC and how they aggressively use
Pacquiao on YouTube, and that's Bob Arum promoted fighter.
You see plenty of fighters on YouTube on the paid, the one you can't skip, especially when they got a big fight going. Like Thurman Porter was there, Carl Frampton, Leo was there, all their major fights.
And Ness, if you don't watch boxing and you see this YouTube ad, just like watching any fucking YouTube ad,
you're gonna click skip.
Not only that, if you have to sit there, you are either annoyed or you essentially just ignored or just like text or do whatever on your phone. Just the ads don't do anything. People have to learn about the product.
It's not the singular ad. It's the amount of ads on the internet.
Yeah, so I'll be really fucking annoyed.
What subliminal messaging does. Come on.
Matt, I don't know. I don't know how much time you spend on the internet, but I swear there's a podcast out here that I said, yo, the PBC is doing too much with the ads. Like it was sometimes two at a time on BoxRec, bro. Like, no, I think they did enough with social media. Maybe they need to do more meet and greets, way more promoted meet and greets too. Not just the publicist saying that Abner Mars is going to be at a fire house. No. Something on TV, something like that. And plus, we need that. You know, we need TBV to be.
I hope they're doing something with Danny Jacobs in Brooklyn as well.
We need this. They need to be on TBV on the couch the way that Oprah is with these guys. That's what we need. You know, back in the day, you know, Ali, you know, he wrestled Frazier on TV. Like, we don't have that anymore, because the only time we get that is at a press conference, and, you know, it's done. But let me get out to some callers here, man. We got some alumni just keep trooping with us. Let's get out to them.
I told y'all a long time ago, the Kirkland will go down 3 rounds.
All right, man. Down goes Kirkland. Strap me up.
Next, I got milk, baby.
Yo, yo, yo. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Yo. Okay, okay. All right, man. So look. The truth is a hard pill to swallow. I'm rocking with the producer on this. Boxing promoters have gotten lazy over the years. The United States has changed so much since the days of the golden era of boxing, Ali, even before then, right? Let's go back to that time. You know, back then, people didn't have a lot of options to be entertained, right? They didn't have smartphones. They didn't have football Thursday and fucking Sunday, and then baseball and then basketball. You know, it wasn't a lot of shit to do back then. Nowadays, man, we have so many options. So much shit is thrown at us just in life in general. You know, smartphones, I'm on fucking Instagram all day. I can go do some other shit. You know, it's just so many options, right? And I feel like promoters have lost touch with that, man. They still use, for the most part, the same tactics that they did 30 years ago. You know, the UFC, they pump out fucking volume, man. They fucking throw ad after ad. They you know, I went to a UFC event. Somebody took me to a UFC event, you know, when it was here in Atlanta. They had about
Excuse me, sir, we can no longer take your call. I'm sorry. We're gonna refund your Patreon. No, I'm sorry. No. We don't deal with MMA fans over here. No, I'm sorry.
Hey, get out of here. Get out of here, Ness. Let the guy burn.
I'm joking.
I'm gonna show you the psychology of their marketing, right? They had about, I think it had to have been about 15 fights that night, right? What that speaks to is volume, right? Why keep pumping out so many fights? Because the attention span of the average Joe isn't that long, you know? For most people, in most fights, most of the time, it's going 12, right? So I think just overall, man, people aren't as patient as they used to be. So we have to find new ways to make this shit exciting. We got to rely more heavily on the technology, on social media, to get in touch with the average Joe, the average consumer, and find a way to get.
How many Golovkin fights have gone 12?
Well, here's the thing. You know, if you look at somebody like a Mike Tyson and a Golovkin, right? Mike Tyson beating someone compared to Golovkin beating someone, it isn't the same. Mike Tyson destroyed people with one punch, right? Over, done with, out.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah, I
just beat somebody over a sustained period of time. Now, it's exciting for me. Don't get me wrong. But the average Joe, man, they're coming in, you know, to them, it just doesn't look that exciting. You know, they want to see that fast KO. That's why MMA is so exciting, because people can go in one punch and it's over. They, you know, the fucking gloves they wear pretty much like fighting with bare knuckles. So we just have a lot of shit that we can get distracted by. So we got to find a way to use technology and use it to our advantage to make these fights exciting. And I think fighters and promoters can do more themselves to promote themselves, you know. Get out there, talk some shit, man. You know, be boisterous. That's what people, you know, if you sit there, you know, Jay-Z, man, the fucking Kovalev War fucking promotion, that was a fucking joke, you know. Here you have Andre Ward, pound for pound, best fucking fighter in the world. You're a fucking rap mogul. I didn't see shit about Ward. I would have had that motherfucking somebody's video with his shirt off for the goddamn girl.
Well, wait a minute.
Ward didn't like that.
But wait a minute. Milkman, your time is up, but I'm going to just tell you this. Last thing you wanted was that fight being heavily promoted. It didn't end up what we thought it would, and it would have just turned people off. the controversy.
What was the controversy, Ness?
What do you mean the con? What do you mean? What was the controversy?
What was the controversy?
The decision.
Oh, okay.
How do you get points? I mean, I would be a moron to not acknowledge.
Wouldn't it be controversial if more people thought that the loser won? But that's why it's controversial.
But it wouldn't have had the effect that Mayweather Pacquiao had because that was just a boring fight, right? Like
every fight,
Cobra Ward was exciting a bit.
Contingency of both sides. Yeah,
I'm just being my daily Andre Ward, giving my daily Andre Ward hate.
I'm noticing.
But again, I've been one of the more critical people of Jay-Z and promoting not only promoting Andre Ward, but how hard is it to send a fucking tweet about Andre Ward? He doesn't even do that.
He's on Twitter, this guy.
Or it doesn't matter. Or just do anything.
I hate to say it because I love Jay-Z and all his music and everything that he did to get to where he's gotten. I mean, the girl that he's got, he's got like the fucking dream life, right?
Yeah. Yep. But I hear you. But what he said about
he's a bit of a weirdo for not really involving himself in his businesses.
But it's a different thing that he's trying to compare because we're talking about. You can compare about the amount of things what PBC is doing to the UFC, but we're talking about fighters promoting fighters and not promoting a brand, which is what PBC is trying to do. So I don't see how just putting shit on the internet is going to make Golovkin or Daniel Jacobs better. I think they need to put shit out with
because everyone's on the. No, you're missing the point. The point is everyone, all ages, everyone's on their smartphone, everyone's on their laptop,
right.
And their iPad. So that's how you're gonna get.
Well, he's talking about fighting dying then, and I think fighting that maybe not just boxing, but fighting will always be something that human beings, or at least a portion of human beings, desire because it's been around since.
Ever
thousands first and thousands Olympics. Of years ago at first yeah Roman Coliseum even before that I guarantee you the age the of the cavemen that the cavemen they probably had bets on fights right so I think that boxing has its ups and downs and I think that they could learn from some of the things that the UFC has done but I think that they need to get in touch with all demographics not just young people to increase a fight like this which is why the grassroots level helps in my opinion but we can move on.
Let me get to some calls. We're going to Richmond, California, 510. Richmond, California, talk to us.
What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing today?
All right. Who's this?
Hello?
Yes.
This is the captain. I've called in once before, but it's been a while.
The captain. What's up, brother?
What's going on, man? So just wanted to chime in on what you guys are talking about today. I think any publicity is good publicity. I don't disagree with MD on this particular stance right here because, man, I just think the more visible they're making this fight, the better it's going to be in the end. I don't think it's a prehistoric form of marketing at all. And I think that, you know, it's going to be beneficial at the end. As far as social media and what they can do to pump up a fight like this, they really got to get in touch, as you know, you guys have been saying, with what this new age is doing. And this new age is, you know, they're very social media based, and they got to make this fight exciting. If I was them, I would be pumping the story of Daniel Jacobs with his cancer, him overcoming cancer. That's going to be a big selling point in this fight. And they need to be showing nonstop reels of both Daniel Jacobs knocking out his opponents and Triple G knocking out his opponents. And they need to be showing that nonstop on social media, whenever they get any TV time, at every press conference, they need to be emphasizing the string of knockouts these two gentlemen have. Because that's what's going to attract the young and the casual fan to watch this fight.
All it takes is a camera crew to follow. To follow Daniel Jacobs in orthopedic cancer ward, and that will get media attention. And listen, I'm not minimizing the severity of orthopedic cancer to sell a fight, but they have to do it. Things like that.
Yep. Listen, I just want to say that they could be billing it up this way too in a nice pediatric commercial. Cancer. They Correct. Could be saying Golovkin Jacobs. You know, they both have a combined 35 consecutive knockouts. So, you know, they need to be saying that, like, this, selling it the way that they were selling Lemieux, but do a better job, right? Like, this is guaranteed fireworks. Somebody's going to go. Somebody's going to go.
Yep, absolutely. And somebody's got to be the bad guy too, man. And, you know, as we've seen in the past, you know, when there's a good guy and a bad guy that sells fights. Now, from what we've seen, you know, I doubt we're going to see Triple G playing the bad guy, you know. But, you know, Jacobs does have a little bit of that cockiness about him. And, you know, maybe he can rise up and, you know, he can be the bad guy. Maybe he can talk some smack, you know.
That's the problem. You can't do the bad guy and work the cancer.
Yeah, can't do both. I know, and I think that's,
you can't be the cancer guy and the bad guy.
I can't see Daniel Jacobs ever being a bad guy.
Seems like a nice. Let me get to some other callers, man. Thank you for calling in, brother. We're gonna.
I just wish Golovkin kind of played the bad guy role a little more, because you know he could.
He could totally be Ivan Drago and get away with it.
You remember the sit down with Max Kellerman with him and Lemieux? And Golovkin started going out like he wants to beat people and beat him and beat him and beat him. And he had like that sadistic look in his face.
Oh, yeah.
That could sell. If he did that more often, he could sell.
All he's got to do is turn on his inner Ivan Drago. Everybody would love him still. Let's get to my boomerang, brother. We got to get to the people that make sure we're still around here. Let me get to
Ness. What's up, buddy?
Jose, what up? I was going to hit you with your intro. But you
That's all right, man. I'm taking full advantage here of the boomerang today, guys. So
I see.
Feeling good here. You know what? One thing that you know, people don't really mention is how amazing Mayweather was at promoting himself. Like, look at TMT, guys. I don't know if you guys are even aware of this, but I heard his hat sales and his shirt sales topped like 8 figures. Like, fuck, man.
Yeah, I guess because we have a society where people love worshiping other people's money. Fucking sad.
No, it doesn't matter. He's using
it sells. That's all that matters.
He's using whatever.
Damn, he dropped off. And that's him, not us. Let me get.
Yeah, and I wasn't disagreeing with him not being good at that. I'm just saying it's fucking sad. I'm making a social observation.
Oh, it's sad, but it's just a reality. Yeah.
Let me get to some callers, guys. These two are like boyfriend and girlfriend. You guys bicker at everything at each other. We're going to go out to Skype here. We're going to get to up first. It looks like Mimsy. Talk to me. Or Mimsy.
Yo, so I'm from the UK, guys. How are you guys doing? It's my first time here. And I think it's a good matchup, Golovkin and Jacobs. I think this need to hype you up a bit more. Can you guys hear me?
We hear you loud and clear, and I'm glad that you called in because, you know, what would you say you feel is different between this promotion and the one with Golovkin and Brooke? Because you were over there, so obviously they were promoting it over there. Has anything Golovkin-Jacobs reached you?
The difference is, you know, with Brooke, obviously he's got with Eddie Hearn, who's a notorious promoter, you know, in UK and stuff, obviously in US as well. And, you know, I think K2 and Jacobs, guys, they need to promote even more, get the word out there saying, you know, we're going to do this, come and meet us there, and, you know, all that stuff, you know, open press tours and stuff like that. You know, I don't think, I'm hearing that there's only two at the moment, press tours. I think if they did more in big states in USA, then I think they'll get more viewership and pay-per-views and stuff like that. And obviously, like, Golovkin, you know, he's Eastern European guy. So, obviously, a lot of the American casuals, they won't know him in sort of way, like, about his opponent. So, that's why Golovkin gets the stick in it, like, saying, who has he fought and stuff like that. Because, you know, a lot of the opponents, you know, like, amateur fights are shown in UK at a different time from US channels. So, that's what I'm saying. Like, casuals, they don't follow boxing as much as diehard fans. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, it plays a difference in that sense. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this fight. You know, I think Jacobs will give him a bit of trouble, but I think Golovkin wins it by TKO within 9 to 8 rounds, I'd say. I think, hopefully.
You think that chin stays up for 9 rounds?
Pardon?
You think Daniel Jacobs' chin stays together for 9 rounds?
Yeah, probably or less than that, but it depends, innit? Because obviously Jacobs is training with guys like Kytrov. I think it was Kytrov or someone like
Heatrov. Ivani Heatrov, yeah. Sergey Dmitrenko, and
Dmitrenko. Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah, he's training with them a lot, so I think he's like putting his grind down and, you know, training really hard and stuff, innit? But hopefully, you know, the fight pans out well and, you know, everyone has a good time, despite, you know, whether you hate boxing or, you know, love it, or you hate the fighters or you love the fighters. You know, I just want everyone to have a good time in it, and, you know, be civilized about it. So, yeah, you know, looking forward to it.
All right, Menzi, thank you for calling in, brother. I appreciate you calling in. Hey, by the way, how did you find us?
Obviously, I've been following you guys, you know, like, you know, it comes up on recommended on YouTube. And
okay.
I thought, you know what, I'll subscribe to you guys on Twitter and YouTube and stuff. So I always want to, you know, be a part of the discussion talks like this. So, you know, thank you guys for having me on as well, innit? I appreciate it.
No, man, thank you for coming on, brother. We're doing more and more early shows, so we definitely need our international callers to call in and definitely support the show so that we get an opinion from all over the world. Speaking of all over the world, what a treat this is going to be. I haven't seen this person in so long. I'm just hoping that, you know, the big man upstairs is able to, you know, get this guy financially over to the United States again so we could party hardy.
If I was at the club, you know I balled. Chemo.
What's up, Boxing Voice? How's it going?
What up, my man?
Chemo, I love how you call in Daniel Jacobs' fight. Touching with your name, you know? That's a joke. It's a joke.
I've heard that one before, yeah. But, I'm thinking about coming over again soon, but it's not going to be Golovkin-Jacobs, though. But maybe summertime if there's a big fight. Ideally, I'd like to go to another location, not necessarily New York, maybe Dallas or something, or L.A. But
Wait a minute, dog. That's exactly what we're debating right now. Like, it's a two-city press tour, and not a lot of people are talking. How is it that this isn't the fight to get you from Abu Dhabi back to New York City? I mean, isn't Gennady being tested for the first time, quote-unquote? That's what the detractors say.
He's been VODA tested a few fights.
No, it's a good fight. Don't get me wrong. It's a good fight. And to be honest, for the experience, I would like to see Golovkin in Madison Square Garden. For me, it's more of a timing issue, like with work and everything. It's not that I don't think it's a good fight. I mean, Thurman and DSG would be a contender as well. I mean, I'd love to go to a fucking Danny Garcia fight with you. You know that.
Yo, that's you where you this, need to be.
I'm going
to
have a ball.
Yo, you need to be at the Thurman Garcia because we're going to be – yo, that's going to be an amazing night, man.
Like I said, the after party is going to be in the funeral home. So if you want to join us with that, I mean
definitely.
It's going to be an emotional trip. So
I'm going to be so sad too because, you know, the last thing I want to do is put Keith Thurman's hair to sleep like that. But, you know – it is what it is, brother. You heard Angel. We cut in the ponytail.
Yeah, but, I think Jose's going to that as well, probably. But
Jose's we'll already booked, man. He's already booked and got his flight, everything.
But Chemo, let me ask you a question. Do you think that I know you don't live over here, but do you think that boxing would benefit from a more, encompassing tour that touches more cities? Or do you agree with Matt that solely using internet volume would be better served?
You know, I think Matt and I have actually interacted already a bit on Twitter because we both follow MMA quite extensively, right? Just as much as
yeah.
And I don't want to turn this into a MMA debate because especially boxing fans, we get a little touchy about this subject, right?
Wait, before you continue, Ness, he's using MMA to talk boxing.
Yeah, no, I might have to cut him off regardless, though.
No, I'm saying this is a boxing talk.
Oh, shit, I think we lost him. Chemo, is it his cell phone service? Chemo?
He's not using his
cell phone.
Yo.
Chemo.
Yeah, I'm still here, bro.
I don't hear him. You hear him?
I hear him.
You heard him?
Yeah, I hear him.
Chemo? Yeah, yo, check, check.
Yeah, I can hear you, Chemo.
I'm joking. I heard him all the time. I just wanted to see.
Anyway, real quick then. I mean, if you compare the current state of boxing and the current state of MMA, promotion-wise, there's no fucking comparison. And Matt can tell you this, man. And it's about creating storylines. It's about creating online content. I mean, if I look at the amount of fighters, for example, in MMA that I've seen, you know, in promotions and in countdowns and in reality, like mini shows on YouTube, how much I've seen of them, you know, their families, their storyline, their struggles, you know. I mean, you talk about press conferences, MD. I find press conferences these days in boxing fucking boring, man. I mean, it's all the same rehearsed shit.
Chemo, I like to
thank that guy. You know, it's just dull, man. Even Golovkin.
How many MMA guys right now? See, this is why I disagree with both of you guys. How many MMA guys right now could headline a pay-per-view card and do more than 500,000?
Maybe five.
Really, five?
500,000 pay-per-view guys? We have Nick Diaz, Nate Diaz, GSP if he comes back.
They're not
Silva could.
Okay, that are still fighting.
It has.
I don't think so.
Conor McGregor, obviously.
Conor. The point, Chemo, the point I'm making is that Conor is exceptional at promoting himself, right? And I think Ronda Rousey was a different thing. Ronda Rousey, Matt, let me talk. What? 1 second. Let me talk, Matt, before you cut me off, because Matt gets offended every single time I talk about the truth. That Ronda Rousey was a creation with a feminist agenda, so you get little girls to watch fighting. It worked. It worked.
Wrong.
Chemo agrees with me on this because he's objective.
No. Hold on. Look. We can't always quantify these things and compare it to each other, because let's not forget, boxing took a huge fucking blow after Mayweather Pacquiao. Everybody threw boxing in the dirt. You know what I mean? So many people tune into that shit. And everybody spat on it, man. I had fucking family calling me, you know, that have never watched a boxing fight in their life, telling me, "What is this garbage? Why did I pay for this?" This was in the Middle East, by the way. Yeah. So you can't exactly compare like pay-per-view numbers between MMA and boxing. That's not how to do it. You just got to look at the well-oiled machine that the UFC has when it comes to promotion. And Matt is right with this, man. It doesn't matter if it's a small pay-per-view, or whether it's a big pay-per-view, or whether it's just a card on Fox, there is always content, man. I always get emotionally invested because there's always content for me to see. And that is something, in my opinion, that boxing is lagging behind, man. I mean,
Wait a minute. Let me ask, because, all right, all three of you guys know this other shitty sport, and I'm the casual. Yeah. So what do you mean by more content?
Okay. Hold on. Let me. No, you go, Chemo.
There would be a 20-minute special on YouTube, for example, about one fighter, for example, that you know, about his wife that she went through something, or he lost his house in a fucking hurricane.
Yeah, they do that. They do that. Boxing does.
Chemo, I don't think that works as much as the fact that the UFC has a monopoly on a sport and is able to have the financial means, which is what a lot of the people who are optimistic about PBC wanted to happen. I think we're talking about a sport that has a monopoly and a sport that is so fragmented that we can't really see that type of dominance. So we're talking, you know, apples and oranges, right? But I'm talking more about focusing on the promotion of like this fight.
No, right?
Not
MD.
Boxing as a whole, this fight.
Yeah, MD, think about it. The UFC does embedded episodes, like five of them before every fight, every major fight. They do embedded episodes on YouTube. They're like 5 minutes long and they get millions of hits on YouTube, millions of hits.
Why
can't boxing do something like that?
Besides Conor, do they get millions of hits? I mean, yeah. I'm just asking.
I can look it up. I can look up the numbers.
They do, man. Okay. Dude, you don't understand. They start promoting one fight already three fights before that. They have contenders line up and are building their story when the other guys are fighting. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a well-oiled machine when it comes to promotion, man. They give their fans Q&A sessions. They give their fans 2-hour Q&A sessions, free mic, you know, they can say whatever they want to like top five fighters, man. They're just very fan friendly. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not saying, you know, like boxing is shit or whatever. They do a lot of good things. I mean, HBO 24/7 is still the best fucking production ever, you know.
Yo, not only 24/7, but both HBO and Showtime put their All Access and 24/7 on YouTube. They just take out the curses.
Which is good.
They put the fight game on YouTube.
But Kimo, I think it's
look at all the programming PBC does. They even got some shit called like PBC Jabs. It's a bunch of stuff. Yo, social media wise, I think it's the same. Like, I didn't know about no 2 hours with top fives, because we can't get 2 hours with no two top fives to do shit. Cotto's a diva. Canelo's a diva. Floyd's a diva. I mean, that's it. The only one that'll give you 2 hours is Pacquiao, and he can't even talk to you.
But Kimo,
expos as well. Right? They do expos in huge conference halls where all the fighters are there to sign, and you can buy merchandise and everything.
But they're going to see the UFC. Like, this is the thing I'm saying. They're going to see the UFC. Blah blah blah. Right?
Yeah, they're not going to see.
You have to look through the lens of that boxing will always be fragmented. Right? I know PBC pretends to have this monopoly, but there will always be German promotions. Sutherland, right?
Frank so Warren, it's, all those people.
Exactly. So the lens in which boxing is viewed is through the fighters and through the stars. Now, UFC is going more of the WWE route, which is trying to build themselves to be synonymous with MMA, because some people go, oh, I'm learning to how to fight UFC, which really means they're learning to train MMA, right? So. Yes. You have to look at it differently. So I agree that you could look at some of the things that the UFC is doing and push it towards building stars, but you need to be careful because the UFC is building the UFC, then building their stars. Boxing can't afford to do that because it's not accessible. It's not available. It's
Well, they can't afford to do that because they don't work together. MD. If they work together, if all the promoters got together as a whole, it would be different, but they're not.
MD, if I could just quickly rebuttal on that, to a certain extent, Eddie Hearn does the same thing. Eddie Hearn doesn't just build his fighters. He also builds his own matchroom brand. And you can ask any British guy that comes on this show. He does like 1.5 hour interviews on IFL London. He builds his own brand, man. It's not exactly comparable. But there's a certain overlap that he is also building his brand. Whenever there's a matchroom card in the UK, whether it's in Leeds, in Manchester, in London, that shit sells because the casuals flock to that. Frank Warren.
Yeah, but Eddie is just a great promoter, though, because it doesn't have to be.
But why can't PBC
a matchroom card? You know, that hour and a half video that you're talking about, he spoke about DeGale, and DeGale is his fighter. But it's fighting somewhere else, right? And he still spoke about it. You know, he's just a good promoter. He's very open.
Yeah, and that's similar to David Dana White in a different realm. But why can't PBC? This is the thing I always said. We say PBC. Who speaks for PBC? We have Al Haymon, who's a ghost. Why can't PBC? Well, why can't PBC for X million dollars a year hire someone who is good looking, charismatic, and could talk like Eddie Hearn? I mean, like you said, he is exceptional at what he does.
I think what they're trying to do is instead of create a figure like an Oscar, right?
A spokesperson, not a figure.
Instead of trying to create a spokesperson, they're putting the fighters, don't you see?
Hold on, quickly.
Someone
needs to speak about. Yeah.
Hold on. Did either of you guys read the deposition by PBC?
No.
MD?
I didn't have 15 hours to do that.
So basically, in that deposition, I'll post the link on my Twitter, okay, for all you guys to see. The people within PBC admitted that Al Haymon is trying to make PBC into the league of boxing, and that they admitted that Al Haymon is going to step down from his advisor role into a promoter role at one point. That's the plan.
Yeah, now
Bull fucking shit. Wait a minute, this guy's going to come from the tower that's never been seen and become Eddie Hearn?
Yeah, wait a minute.
That's what's in the court document that I read.
Yeah, but whose words are you reading?
It was Michael Ring. He works with Michael Ring.
Works for PBC, right?
Yeah, PBC. Yes, PBC's...
Isn't that the guy that doesn't work for PBC anymore?
Is it Michael Ring? I forget. I can look it up. I read that article months ago.
Yeah,
but
Al Haymon, I am promoting shit. Get fired.
Al Haymon was even was in the deposition. There's Al Haymon quotes talking about this, that he even talked about changing PBC into the league of boxing in a sense.
Who speaks for PBC?
Al Haymon was talked to in that deposition.
Who speaks for topic? No, it's as important. Well, this is who speaks for PBC?
We already established that the fighters are the only people that could talk for them.
Right. And then what fighter on PBC has been increased after PBC, except I guess Earl Spence. Like, the point I'm trying to make is like
Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman, Sean
Deontay Wilder.
All those people are household names because, we're talking about millions of people.
Correct. And like I said, Danny Garcia existed before PBC, and Danny Garcia is the biggest fighter on PBC by far, as far as popularity.
Let me tell you, right? This is a small gauge, right? He held some sort of fan and greet over the holidays while he had a house in Florida. 1,000 people showed up to a Dunkin' Donuts, dude.
For who? Danny Garcia?
For Danny.
I told you that he is the biggest star that PBC has, for sure. Not arguing that.
That was like right after Christmas. He's been going to a bunch of Dunkin' Donuts, right? So I guess it's like this, whatever dude he's cool with in Philly opened one up in Florida and 1,000 people showed up. They had Instagram videos of the show.
Say that, but is Badu Jack DeGale a good fight? Is it a good fight or not?
Of course, it's a great fight.
Did you not see all over the internet they're having problems selling tickets?
I have not.
And Kimo, if that fight was in the UK, even with those same fighters, would they have problems selling, I don't know, a 12,000 seat venue?
Nah, not 12.
Oh, if Hearn was promoting it, it would sell massive, man, in London.
25,000 easily.
Yeah,
it could sell it. It's a DeGale.
Listen, Kimo, let me get to some other callers. We got to wrap this shit up. It's already 5 o'clock. Talk to me.
Thanks for calling in, Kimo.
Thanks for calling, Kimo.
Yo, what's good? That was definitely a great call. Shout out to Kimo for that call, man. I think in terms of promoting this fight, like, Jacobs is the one, with all due respect, he's got to really promote the fight, because win or lose, and most likely, however the situation turns out.
But he got his retirement money, though. He doesn't need to promote.
What's that?
I'm joking. I said he has his retirement money, so he's good. So he's going to just let it go and retire after.
Yeah, I don't think that he's going to retire after this fight. And that's what I'm saying. He's got to put himself in position for at least one more going away fight. $600,000-$800,000. He's not going to be a millionaire. I don't see him retiring after this particular fight. And that's why I think he has to promote it. Not as a bad guy, but he just got to, do a lot more to promote the fight, because people talk about Triple G's age, but he's still got, a couple years left. I don't think Jacobs will be the same in a bad way, but he ain't going to be the same after this fight should he lose in the fashion that people think he is. So Jacobs got to do a lot to promote this fight. Forget about the promoters. He got a lot of response.
Yeah, you seem to have fallen off or just stopped talking, but I think that some of the blame needs to be put on PBC. Maybe they're not being allowed co-promotional rights.
Not for this one. You could blame PBC to tell you where Jacobs is right now, but since K2 is the promoter of this fight, they are responsible for promoting this fight. So for this fight, if this fight fails, it's not PBC's fault.
I understand that they're not promotionally obligated to promote this fight, anyone on the behalf of Jacobs. But I feel like because of who Gennady is, right? Like, Al Haymon obviously knows boxing, All those people that work with PBC, they obviously know boxing. So if you know boxing, you know that Gennady is on his way up. So why not build this fight up? Help them build this fight up so that win or lose, your guy has a career after this and some residual effect the way that Mayweather and Pacquiao and Canelo opponents get.
That big thing is that and I think this is another difference. I think I'm going to bring it up again, but the UFC, the O doesn't matter as much. And that O is a big issue in boxing because we are so like, I'm not being negative in this. I don't blame Floyd Mayweather for all of this. I blame some of the fans and I blame some of the boxers for being so affected by Floyd Mayweather. I don't blame him because he did what he had to do to make money and he left and he's gone right now. So I don't blame him. Listen, what Floyd Mayweather did was genius. He became the bad guy. He took a non-knockout style to become the highest paid boxer in history. But I blame a lot of these fighters for believing Floyd Mayweather didn't want to let his O go, so I'm not going to let my O go. Like, it's not different. It's so different. Because Terrence Crawford's O is not the same as Floyd Mayweather's O, okay? Especially when it's just not the same.
Let me get to some callers here. We got Hand Wraps. Actually, no, Hand Wraps, I'm sorry. We got Boomerangs online. I'm sorry. I keep doing – yo, Oh, shit. Popping all this champagne, popping all this rosé, getting money like Jose, chain cold, Norway, shorty wants that full play, I'm like, no way, gotta rock like Coldplay, chilling it, getting cheese like Green Bay, call me Aaron Rodgers. Yo. What up, Jose? Back at it?
Yo, this is when I say I miss Steven, man. I miss Steven. Back at it. Yo, man, I miss my boy Timo on here.
Hey, Jose, I did tell Ness originally, Jose's back, go to him next.
Jose was never here or back.
Hey, Jose, you could tell he's lying because he said Jose. We don't even know a Jose.
I know.
Jose, same thing.
No, he's telling you live on Jose Avenue. I'm assuming.
He's got those wrestling ears, you know, he can't listen. Yo, just so you guys.
He got cauliflower ears from all that MMA he watches.
And Chemo, man, you give Chemo a poster of Conor McGregor, and he's going to keep busy in the room all by himself, man. That guy's in love with that guy. So got to take Chemo with a grain of salt here. The thing is this, though, guys. Like, I agree with what MD is saying, even with what Chemo said, that you do have to have more – you got to have more of an emotional connection with fighters. I remember being a casual boxing fan, and I like boxing just like I like other sports. But what really turned me was like 2007, 2008, I think it was, Showtime did a special on Vasquez and Marquez. I don't know if you guys remember that trilogy or not. They ended up doing a fourth fight afterwards. Did you guys ever see that or not?
Yes. Is that where we learned about Marquez drinking his own piss, right? That was the beginning of it?
No.
That was.
His younger brother.
Oh, maybe not. You're a little older than me, so I don't necessarily remember that, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah, you guys should check that out because that's what boxing is lacking right now. They're lacking content, but they gotta associate the content to past fights. Like Jacobs doesn't really have any wars that they can show and we're gonna watch on HBO or YouTube and see about him and learn about him and see what battles he had to go through. Yeah, he beat cancer. I understand that, but I mean, it's you're a doctor, MD, you know this shit, but it's not like it used to be. Like now you can somehow, you know, certain types of cancer, people are beating it, right? So it's not like, you know, it's earth-shattering news or anything, right? So I mean, it is an angle.
Okay, right? but to correct what you just said, right, you could live for, there's many cancers you could live, but to become a pro athlete after, when you know the creatures have to, yeah, that's extremely rare.
Look at Armstrong, though. Look at Lance Armstrong. Look
what? He was fucking juicing, bro. He was juicing.
That is correct. But you know what? But you say look at Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong, when he was peaking, we never give a fuck about cycling. And we only give a fuck about cycling because of his story. So
yeah, the fact that he tested positive, or I would have never...
Enough with this testing positive.
MD, also a tumor on your spine is different than testicular cancer in terms of affecting physical performance, right?
That is correct, but it also spread to his brain. But can we continue?
Yeah.
The whole point is this, though. Like, one of those guys have to be a bad guy. At the end of the day, Triple G, somebody's got to tell him, listen, you're going to make $5, $10 million, but if you want to make $20, $30, $40, he's got to go up and say, listen, you beat cancer, you're not beating me. You know, I'm putting you in the ground. Like, he's got to do something like that.
Damn.
This guy's got to be a little bit more.
Jose, you just said Manny Pacquiao's affecting his pay-per-view revenue because of what he said about gays. There's a lot more people in America who give a fuck about people with cancer than who care about gay rights. I'm sorry, that's the truth.
Yeah, Jose, you got caught on that one, Jose.
I would appreciate it. No way, man. I don't give a fuck. Like, I think that's fucking entertaining. That's sharp, man.
I don't give a fuck if Manny Pacquiao says gay people are going to hell because of his religious values.
Jose did say that beating women's okay, so let's just...
I know, Jose, and you also said beating women's okay. You're losing points today, man. You better...
It is okay, man. No, it doesn't matter. If you want to beat a woman, go ahead and do it.
Yo, man. Jose, stop. You're on video. You're going to find you.
No, man. It's true. Everyone gets to do it.
You love your wife, Jose. We all know you're trolling. You would never hit a woman.
Your wife's going to beat you up, Jose. Your wife's going to kick your ass.
I wouldn't. But that's why if I hit my wife, she would take me to the cops and I get put in jail just the same as anyone else. Yep. Right? So, I mean, whatever. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is they got to find a way to promote. They got to say things. They got to get under their skin. Like Tyson Fury would pull no punches, and look at him. In my opinion, he's just a bum.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, Jose, I'm going to back you. At the end of the day, he's right. Tyson Fury sells his promotions. You know, I mean, not to mention, I mean, maybe now we know why he was wearing a fucking bat suit and shit and acting bat crazy. But
that was get his sentiment without mocking that
Montana.
I get his sentiment, but you cannot mock cancer because that will do
no, MD. But
the guy is getting personal.
But think about Mike Tyson. He was also a seller in the press conferences, man. He was lethal. And Floyd, too. Floyd was all in Oscar's face, all in Mosley's face. He was cursing people out.
Look, my mother called his dad a faggot on camera.
That's right. And look at all the shit he talked about Gotti.
But that's okay. Yeah, he's not like demeaning a whole, like he's insulting that person personally. I don't take that offensively, man. If somebody insults me, they're not insulting the whole world. They're insulting me. So I don't understand why they can't take that hard line and do the Mayweather, do the Tyson, you know, do that attack, like do what Duran did, right? He insulted Sugar Ray's wife, called her a whore. Like, what's wrong with that? If it sold a shit.
Oh, that I'm about because he's not, you're right, because he's not insulting a whole, no, but this is Jose.
It's wrong, but it sells.
No, one second. We live in a different day and age than back in the day. Because if let's just say hypothetically, right? One second. Let's just say that somebody I'm just making these two fighters up. Let's just say Keith Thurman's married. Danny Garcia.
Y'all both talking. You can't hear each other.
Yeah, Danny Garcia called Keith Thurman's wife or girlfriend a whore. Now that would be treated as calling all women whores and him being sexist.
Yes.
That's not just insulting his own wife. So this is not only that,
it's a different day and age when Duran and Leonard fought, you know, fucking the reporters could write about it.
Bullshit.
Wait a minute, Jose. The reporters could write about it. Listen, the reporters. Yeah. What about Broner and Paulie? Broner was sticking up for the girl.
What that girl's abortion. They talked about everything. They made that fight way more interesting than it should.
They sure did. I was part of that promotion.
Right. But we didn't see pay-per-view sales because it wasn't on pay-per-views to really quantify that as far as marketability. So I hear you.
But MD, what we did know that after that promotion, Broner did garner enough attention where they and I mean Schaefer, De La Hoya, and Eric Gomez almost thought about giving them the pay-per-view with Maidana, and then they went free TV. Remember, they were going pay-per-view.
But Broner's an exception because he's willing to be the laughingstock.
Not an exception because that's what Jose is asking all fighters to do, to entertain and to be outspoken. Jose,
Does everybody have the entertainment factor as Adrian Broner? He's special.
But that's what he's saying, that more people should try. Jose.
Yes.
I'm going to take you, I'm going to unpress one for you, right? So now if you want to come back, you unpress one. So in case you want to come back, cause you know, the boomerang starts, I got to go to my other boomerang. They all lit up today, but you know, without you guys, I wouldn't be doing shows every day. But Bruce, what's going on, Gypsy King?
Yo, he's definitely going to want to press one again, probably about right now. So go ahead, Jose, press one, because I'm kind of going to do what you're talking about.
Oh, he hung
you
up.
Just didn't know.
He hung
you,
up.
You just didn't. He had better. It's probably for the best that he hung up.
He's ducking you?
Because the little guy, of course he's ducking me. He got all three of my belts, and he knows I'm coming for him.
But, Bruce, you going for Danny, right?
Belt. Yeah, I got Danny Swift.
Oh, shit. You're going to get those belts back.
Damn, yo, and that's the pick you wanted because he's supposed to give you dibs. Like,
I was supposed to have Ward. I was supposed to have Andre Ward, so them belts should already be mine. But
oh, so you already know what that means, Bruce. You're gonna win. We're gonna be sell because karma.
I'm gonna win.
Karma.
Get out of her nest. Get out of her nest. Come on, man.
Right now is QMD's sarcastic joke. No, MD? Because I said that Bruce is going to win, right?
Yeah, no Danny Garcia joke from
– Oh, I'm sorry. I was being distracted. Yes, I'm gonna win.
What the?
I'm sorry. I was really distracted by something. I apologize, Bruce.
I see.
I think his brain like short circuited because he had Danny Garcia and Andre Ward, like two dudes he hates the most. So his brain like just couldn't take the hate. There was so much hate.
Listen. But I'll tell you one thing is I've never picked. You know that you want to know an MD fact. I've never picked Danny Garcia to lose.
MD facts.
I've never picked Danny Garcia to lose a fight until now.
Until now?
Yep.
But that's all because of your boys are Floridian. But you're going to learn.
That's because Danny Garcia fought only one opponent that he was the underdog.
Your picture on Twitter.
The rest of his career, he's been such a heavy favorite that.
Yeah, he fought two. Jose, you're unmuted, Jose. And he fought two, MD. What are you talking about? He was a 7-1 versus Khan.
But I knew about Khan's chin. I knew about Khan's chin, so I picked against Khan. I'm not a big Khan fan.
Matter of fact, where's Kanye when you need him?
I had to call back in. What did they say? Come on, just abbreviate it. Make it quick.
I was just talking
what I said about fighters promoting and stuff, or not?
Yeah, but just with me and you, though.
Oh, with you and me. Listen, Bruce.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen what you did in Vegas. I'm not going to tell these guys, man. I could call you out on your stuff.
Oh, we're going to go there then, huh?
Damn, Bruce, he got the tape? Yo, let me find out Jose's like Keith Thurman. He got the tape right now.
Yo, this tape's even better than RAB's tape. You know what I mean?
Yo, I got more belts and more gold right now than MD had at his bar mitzvah, man.
Keep them shiny. Keep them warm because they're coming back back to America,
yo,
where they belong.
And Bruce confirmed he's coming to the show, too. Yo, Ness, man, speaking of promoting and advertising and shit, you got to do a better job of selling your show, man.
Dude, I'm a one-man army right here. I mentioned it on the last show.
Same thing too. We're talking about taking shots. Start taking shots at your alumni. Start calling them homos and wife beaters and shit. Get them.
Yo, I get fucking criticized by Ness by calling someone like Raging Babe a fucking attention whore.
Yo.
See, I'm being cut off right now. You hear this, Jose?
There's no need for that. I don't understand that.
I wasn't even wrong. I stated a fact, and that's got, you know.
That makes as much sense as this guy asking Paulie to
spar. I shouldn't even bring up her name because she doesn't even.
But what I'm saying is.
You got the two relationship records.
I know. Like
records. That is different. That is different because that is different.
How is that different from Matt asking fucking Paulie to spar?
Because she's not going
to not ask him to spar. God.
How is that different than asking Paula to spar? Because,
dude, that is not my friend. She is my friend. That's it.
She's not my friend.
All right. But damn. Yo, yeah. So then keep your conversations off air. What happened, Jose?
You gotta, the other day, I was just going to say that the show you guys did before Christmas was awesome, man. Like the way you guys shouted out, like, you know, the path. It's been 5 years. Everyone that calls in, man, you got to grill them. You got to get them to come to the show, man. It's only going to be that.
Yeah, you know the worst part, Jose? You know what the worst part is?
You got to do it too, though, man.
I don't think we're going to get the amount of people that we need to do it. And this one is really nostalgic. Like, yo, it's the first date ever. That shit means something.
We're at 10.
Fifth year, too.
We're 15 away from a show, man.
We're at 10 already?
Away from a show. I don't think people realize. Yeah, we're at 10. New York, guys, it's fucking expensive as fuck. We get a fucking party with all the fucking kit and caboodle there with drinks, with friends, with music,
yeah, well,
with food.
They better hurry up. They got 3 days. They got 3 days to get come up with 10 people because I'm just not doing it. You know what I mean? Well, like, how many people did we have there? It was like
10.
How many people were at the West Coast one? Like 40, maybe 30 something.
Maybe.
You know, I'm not gonna have fucking Deontay Wilder there with 30 something people ever again. Fuck that. No, sir. You know,
well, get it, man. You
and this one, you know, Triple G might be there too. Triple G might be because he's, you know, he's gonna be in New York City, you know, and me and Tom so close. Never know.
MD and Triple G are best
friends. Remember, I was already the last time we were doing it in Vegas, I already wanted give Tom an award for being such a good promoter, but here we are already stealing it from him in 2017, saying he's not promoting this fight well enough when last year we wanted to give him an award for promoting fights. We're so hypocritical.
Well, it looks like he should have accepted it.
You right about that.
Yo, yeah. Hopefully Bruce, man. Bruce is hopefully he's got to get the people to show up to the show. Otherwise, it's not an official unification, right?
Damn, that's
win
true.
The belt by default.
You'll win the belts though, Bruce.
You already snuck that belt back to Canada.
Bruce, you'll win them. You'll still win them, but you'll receive them in the mail. That shit'll be whack. They would rob you of your like.
That's whack.
You know, they would rob you of your moment. You need your pictures and your video. You know? No way.
Hell yeah.
Yo, imagine we could all be like in another suite like we were. Imagine we could be in another suite like we were and get an immediate reaction going. Ooh. Yeah. That was dope.
Yeah, that'd be fun, man. Yeah, it would be real dope. It'll be even doper when I got four belts all around me.
So, Bruce, really quick, what could Triple G and K2, even Daniel, what could be done to get some more attention for this fight? Because it seemed like we were talking about this fight every day when, you know, they were negotiating. But now that they have, you know, now that it's made, it seems like the attention has died for this one a little bit.
I mean, there got to be some things they could do, like 24/7. I mean, they just don't do that stuff anymore. I don't know, like, what – I don't know if it's a budget issue or what, like, why they don't do things like that on HBO anymore. You know what I mean?
You know, that's
true. They used
to
do that for fights that of way smaller magnitudes than this one. There would be 24/7s and shit. You know what I mean? Four episodes, an hour long. Now, like, you're just getting – you know, a 10-minute little shitty video on their YouTube.
Yeah.
And
that is true.
And the numbers are shitty too now. You know what I mean? So they kind of go hand in hand with each other. So I don't know, maybe something like that. I mean, just something different than what they're doing right now. That's for sure.
I know.
Even like Ward and Kovalev, man, 160,000 for that fight. That's terrible.
That's
2 pound for pound guys.
That is, man.
There's no excuse for that.
And those guys you would think were fairly popular with all the knocking out that Kovalev did on HBO and all the groundwork that Ward laid down throughout the years. But I guess
you saw the commercial.
What happened?
Ness, you saw the commercial with for Kovalev and Ward, right? You saw like the commercial all over the place, right? It was on Spike TV. It was on all the PBs. It was on all the channels. It was on everything. And that commercial was so shitty and such a lower quality that me as a boxing fan, as a fan of the sport that I work for the site and everything, I even didn't want to watch the fight because I was like, man, if I was a casual and saw that commercial, I would think it's a subpar fight.
I agree 100%. The thing that I told Ness, the second I saw that commercial, I'm like, why aren't they showing Andre Ward win an Olympic medal, treat him like he's the American hero, and then be like this Russian savage and show him as like a fucking killer. Instead, they're just like pound for pound supremacy. What the fuck does that mean to a casual? Pound for pound what? Like it's not – if we have an American gold medal winner fighting a Russian savage, you're going to get more pay-per-view buys. How hard is it for them to figure that fucking shit out?
A racist savage, man. They should have played that angle.
The problem was,
make him the bad guy. He could easily be the bad guy. I agree, Jose.
They wouldn't, though. They would never do that. They love him too much. Even after the fight, they still love him.
Yeah. But he kind of made it. He could go the bad guy. He could go the bad guy route himself this time because he was like, oh, you know, it's America. It's no fair anyway. Let me get to some other callers. We got to wrap this shit up, man, because then we got to be back in a few fucking seconds. This is ridiculous. Too Tough. Talk to me.
Hey, yo, what up, y'all? Listen, yo, Danny Jacobs, listen, he missed a big opportunity. Like, when he fought Mora, I think they had, like, a cancer telethon on that night. If he would have did, like, a tape delay special, because it was aired on, like, 5 or 6 different networks, MTV, BET, VH1, all of those things. That would have been, like, much more people would have known his name that, oh, wow, this dude fought cancer, and he's, like, you know, fighting for against this killer, and he's calling him out. They would have been able to tune in to him. You know, like, his whole cancer story is is being wasted, yo, honestly. You know, they're not bigging that up enough. And the fact that he is fighting somebody that got them, what is it, 21 straight knockouts or whatever, you know, he's about to go in there with a real killer. You know, he beat the silent killer, and now he's about to, you know, beat the other killer. You know, like, you know, they could have did so much more with this promotion. I mean, it ain't really too late, but, you know, maybe one of them need to play in the All-Star game on the NBA weekend and get some casuals on a celebrity basketball game or something like that so that they could get more people watching them, knowing their names or something, knowing that they about to have a fight in a couple of weeks.
But I mean, Jim Lampley should have had him on the fight game.
You know, the truth is that a fighter just needs to come out as gay, and then he'll get out on Oprah. Like, that's
the fight game sucks.
Come on, man. We just need a top fighter to come out as gay. That's all we need. Like, if that happens, boxing will be rejuvenated.
That happened already with Orlando Cruz.
Man, Orlando Cruz only was a top fighter because he is gay. You see what I'm saying? He got a title shot because he's gay.
If he was heavier and could have fought Pacquiao, that would have sold millions.
100%.
That would have sold millions. But y'all, listen, I'm gonna be hollering at y'all in a little while. I just wanted to say that piece that they missing a big opportunity. You know what I'm saying? They could be like Miracles is gonna beat Drama and all of this other stuff that they could say throughout the whole build up of the fight. But you know, it is what it is. You know, it might do like Crawford and Postel's numbers. I hope not, but Ward missed the opportunity. He's from Ward from the hometown of Golden State, which is a hot team or whatever the case is. Like, all they shows is nationally televised. He could have been at all that halftime things, being interviewed, talking about the fight that was coming up. You know, he missed opportunities on that. They missed.
Let me tell you the difference between that. Because I know that how that area is set up. That Golden State Warriors, the people who go to the Golden State Warriors games don't live anywhere near that arena. They live in the San Francisco area. They go to Oakland and they leave Oakland. Do nothing else in Oakland.
But their games are nationally televised often. They're on ESPN and ABC on Saturdays and Sundays often. They play on Christmas Day. They play, they're the national team, like, you know, them and LeBron James team. You know, they're the team. So, you know, if you're from the hometown of one of those teams, that helps you more.
But Ward's not the – and I'm not taking a shot at Ward, but he's not the type of guy that's outgoing to do that. He hasn't done that so far.
He should. That's what I mean. Like, he should. Jay-Z should, you know, he should know better than that. You know what I'm saying? Like, the only reason why the Nets, when they was in Brooklyn, it was a big thing is because Jay-Z was affiliated with the team when they first got here with the whole Barclays Center. That's the only reason why they was able to, like, sell out the first couple of seasons. Now, they giving them tickets away for free. So you know, like, you know, and that's because he ain't affiliated with no more. If he would have, like you said earlier, if he would have put his name out there, said more stuff about the Ward Kovalev fight, a bunch of more casual people would have.
He needed to be the way that 50 Cent was, man. 50 Cent at least wanted to.
Yeah, because a lot of
try.
People don't even
Pascal
know.
Pascal tried in Canada, and that was.
A lot of people don't even know Jay-Z in the boxing promotion.
Of course
a lot
not.
Of people don't know that he in boxing promotion, you know? So.
Too tough. You know, let me cut you short, man. I know you Patreon and that. I gotta cut you short because we gotta start the other show. You guys, nobody giving us time for the next one. These two characters, you two, zip it up. You guys are not allowed to speak. Let the caller speak. Did we get the NO today? Because he's called in so many times. Did we get to him today?
We didn't go to him.
NO. All right. I didn't know. I felt like we never left now. So I don't know, you know. Losing track of things.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you a young fella, and he comes from the Magnolia.
Whoa. Look here, man. Jay-Z, bro, I give him the full charge for that fight. I know. Caddy Dove and them, they got to be responsible for. But Jay-Z was the most nationally known figure, bro, involved with that fight for being a promoter, Andre Ward. I don't know. Was he at the fight? I don't think he was at the fight. He wasn't even at the fucking fight, man. How you promote somebody you not even at the fight?
I'm starting to believe all those rumors about Jay-Z is true. I'm starting to believe all those rumors about Jay-Z is true, if you know what I mean. I don't know, man.
It got to be.
How does a man who promotes a boxer, a man, not want to go to a fight?
That don't make no sense, man. This your boxer. You promoting it. You paying this man. And you not showing up at the fight. You know it's gonna bring casual fans who probably don't even give a fuck about boxing just to look at that shit just because they're there. Beyonce probably come with him.
I think this is another way of looking at it too, and I know I'm gonna get the hate.
90 seconds.
The hate for being the optimistic one, but Jay-Z isn't really involved in Roc Nation as a whole anyway. It's not like he's running around with any other athletes, right?
His name is being licensed. That's it.
Exactly. So
yeah, but
it's more like he's the spokesperson, the way MD said, right? So with that being said,
No, he's not even the spokesperson. His name is licensed. The spokesperson.
He's the face.
He invested. He invested in the covenant.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
No, well, that's what we're saying.
This thing's called the silent investor, and that's essentially he is. Yeah. He's a silent investor with a name that he's using his name. And I don't know, like Jay-Z, Roc Nation, but like I don't even find Jay-Z being that relevant anymore in general. Is he?
I tend to agree with you.
He brought some eyes to it. I mean,
he's still relevant.
As Beyonce's husband.
I mean,
as a mogul, like, my friend. What the fuck are you talking about? He's a mogul. Like.
Yo, we all grew up listening to Jay-Z for sure, but it's people move on, man. Like I said, the rumors about Jay-Z is true. So
we're not saying that he's relevant for music, but musically, every time he drops something, he's still within the time. Like he's one of the best rappers of all time.
But still, though, I don't really listen to what he's been putting out lately. What could Jay-Z rap about now?
I don't think he's dropped the album or anything. Like he's still dropping songs with other people because people still want to be on songs with him.
Yeah, but when you've been Jay-Z for Jay-Z so long, it's kind of hard to rap because what is he going to rap about? Not promoting fights? Like, what does he have to rap about anymore?
Yeah.
Reasonable Doubt is a great album, and Volume 1 is amazing. So no hate to the legend.
Then what happened, like the other caller said, what happened to the 24/7 and all that? I mean, I think that fight deserved all that shit. They should have, like everybody said, they should have had him winning the gold medal.
Why you always talking about Ward? We talking about Golovkin Jacobs. You still talking about Sergey and Ward in the 24/7 for the gold medal.
But they dropped the ball. That's what I'm saying. Like they dropped the ball on now, man. Ain't no way in the world. But that's a fight that I really thought was going to do kind of well.
I'm over that fight. I can't believe how many people hung. No, MD. I mean, NL, you don't have to be too. Like, but I'm just shocked at how many people still call in talking about that shit. Yo, that 1 month feels like a year ago already for me. That's how many more other boxing things have happened.
But still, though, it's like, all right, check this out. Terrence Crawford at Post All. We all knew that wasn't gonna do too well or whatever. That's why. Like, I mean, I can easily get past that. But a fight like that, I thought that's two fighters, bro. We could have said one of them would have been number one pound for pound after that fight. You know what I'm saying? I just like if Golovkin fight Canelo. You know what I'm saying? Like people gonna linger on to that shit for a little while if the numbers don't do good. Cause that's gonna be like what happened? You know what I'm saying?
And no,
like with Pacquiao fight this little cat, we don't know this dude from Australia. Man, them numbers ain't gonna do good, man. That's some bullshit. Nobody wanna see that shit. Ain't nobody wanna see him and on the last dude. I don't know how the hell that fight happened.
Hey, yeah, no, I gotta cut you short. I gotta cut you short, man. Keep your hands on the steering wheel.
I'm happy Steven's out here because Steven picked Vargas.
Yeah, right. Keep your hands on the steering wheel, and don't worry about it. We be right back. But we need to take a break before 7 o'clock, man. I gotta get some fucking protein in me, man. Been on
Friday. Yeah, what about Marcus from DC?
Nah, I mean, it's over. Marcus, call back, baby. Marcus only been waiting for 10 minutes. That ain't bad. You know what I'm saying? He just got here. You just got here, Marcus. Like, where is mom? Let me get you. Marcus, how long you been there? Be honest. 10 minutes, right?
Yo, I just got here like 10, 15 minutes ago. Yeah, I've been feeding the girls. I take them to swim practice.
All right, we'll be right back.
I only got the hit from MD Twitter. But let me just say something real quick. Look here. Think about this. How much money is now not being diverted to promotion because fighters are asking for too much purse?
Ooh,
think
see?
About that on the break.
Yo, that's exactly why you need to be coming up to NYC, man. That was a look how short and sweet but good of a call that was. It's true, because that's something MD talks about all the time. These guys wanting these retirement packages, then that leaves no money for promotion. How are you going to go to 10 cities when you paid a guy enough money to feed 10 cities?
No comment.
Well, since he has none, I'm your host, Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO.
You can find me at BoxingMD1 on Twitter.
And you can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter and at Mixed Combat Radio on Facebook.
Later.